We've been talking about heaven and hell the past few weeks. It's been a lot of fun. What I want to do is I want to wrap this up tonight, okay? A few things I really want to get to, some things I'm pretty excited about. I like this. I like it when my thinking is challenged, and I hope to challenge your thinking a little bit tonight. I'm not trying to start a new religion or bother anybody, like try to make like I'm smarter than other people. All right, first thing, remember anyone here a few months ago, I talked about the idea of going to heaven. We've all heard of, right, when you die, you go to either heaven or hell, right? Colts fans and good people go to heaven. The bad people and Steelers fans, booyah, shoo! Stealing, thou shalt not steal, dog. I'm sorry. Sorry, man. Yeah, 6 Super Bowls, they stole them all, too. All right. I challenged the idea of going to heaven. I said, you know, we've always passed it down. Christians, we talk about going to heaven, but I challenged that idea. I said, I think that what Scripture teaches us is a little bit more about heaven coming here than us going somewhere when we die. Now, I realize this can be kind of a novel idea. You're like, what are you talking about here, man? You're messed up. You're crazy. Bear with me. I want to breeze through this. We've talked about it once, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But I want to share a few verses from Scripture and maybe expand our minds a little bit on heaven. And then I got a few points I want to make afterwards. I think this is going to be good. So let me say here first. I've got a quote from a book I read. It's called Velvet Elvis by a guy named Rob Bell. And he says here, talking about the prophets in the Old Testament, he said the prophets had a way of talking about a restoration movement of God. They spoke of God reclaiming earth and restoring the world. They did not talk about people going somewhere at the end of time. They talked about God coming here at the end of time. A couple scriptures just to show you what he's talking about. First of all, in Leviticus 11 through 12, God says, I will put my dwelling place among you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. Does it talk about us going anywhere in there? Does it give us a picture, though, of God coming to where we are? Yes. Resounding. Awesome. Isaiah 66:15 then says, see, talking about the end times, see, the Lord is coming with fire. It doesn't talk about us going to be with God. It talks about God coming here with fire because fire is cool. Okay. Secondly, my man Rob Bell goes on to say, remember when God made the world, he called it good. Why would God then destroy something he thinks is good? We talk about the world being destroyed at the end of time, and then we go to heaven to be with God. Peter says in the book of Acts, heaven must receive Jesus until the time comes. You know, Jesus ascended into heaven. Heaven must receive Jesus until the time comes for God to restore everything he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Big word Peter uses here, restore. It's huge. I mean, like 7 letters, crazy. To restore is to make things how they once were. To renovate, to rebuild, to put together the parts that are broken. Few scriptures in the New Testament that support this idea of restoration. Luke 18:8 says, when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Doesn't talk about us going somewhere. It talks about Christ returning. Okay? Acts 1, 9 through 11. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, 2 white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven and in the same way you saw him go. It doesn't talk about us going somewhere. It talks about Christ returning here. Thank you. Acts 3, 21, for he must remain in heaven. Rob Bell just said in his what I read from here, from his book, for he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Revelation 12:10, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ. It has come here. Revelation 21, verse 5, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. In other words, he's restoring what already exists. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Revelation 22, 20, he who is a faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. come, Lord Jesus. Not here we come. Amen. Here we come, Lord Jesus. Ready or not. Here I come, Jesus said. Whether you're ready or not. That's in another verse, though. Okay. You guys are wondering where I'm going with it. Bear with me. I got a few more scriptures, and I'm going to make a point here real soon. Heaven should be viewed, in my humble opinion, heaven should be viewed much less like a destination and much more like an inheritance, something we will receive, or a destiny. Some of you remember a long time ago, I preached an amazing message, just awesome message, about being people of destiny rather than people of destination. People of destination, once they get there, they chill out and they go on vacation. People of destiny are always looking for bigger and better things. They're never satisfied because there's always more. And with God, there is always more. We will never comprehend all of Him. We are people of destiny. Okay, Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. And the point is, bring out this word inheritance, something that is to be treasured, something that is to be received. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of heaven? He doesn't say will not go to the kingdom of heaven. He says they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or who commit adultery or are male prostitutes, probably female prostitutes too, just wanted to, you know, apparently there was a big problem with that in Corinth at those times, or practice homosexuality or are thieves or are greedy people or are drunkards or are abusive. Some of you have experienced abuse before in your life. I'm sorry about that. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't say they won't go to the kingdom of God. It says they won't inherit it. It's not for those people. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you, as I have done before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians 5:5. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. James 2:5. Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? And aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom He promised to those He loved? When heaven is viewed as a place to go, it's like a vacation spot. Basically, any decent person can get in. Yep. Someday when we die, if you live a good life, you get to go to heaven. Well, okay. I'm not going to say that's not true. I don't think it quite grasps the whole picture, though. Like I said, the problem I see with it is we see this as this thing far off, and we trudge through this life because life sucks, and we all know that. That's sarcastic. But sometimes life does suck. And finally, when we die, God picks the good ones and the bad ones He throws away. When heaven is viewed as an inheritance rather than a place to go, it kind of says it's for certain people only. And we need to find out what we must do or what is required to inherit this kingdom of heaven. Now, inheritance isn't a huge thing in our society, although it still does happen. But basically, when my parents pass on, let's hold off on Gandalf just a minute. Thank you. I know. We're excited. All right. If you're quiet, if you're good, you can inherit a movie clip. I don't know. Whatever. Now, if my dad passed on and he left all his money and house to Taylor or Lolo of all people, I would throw a fit because I deserve that inheritance from my dad. Why? Because I'm his kid. It's rightfully. There are certain qualities, and one is I am his seed. I am his offspring. My mother carried me for 9 months. I should get their money when they die. That's just how it is. I want to know. That's what an inheritance is. Well, if that's the case, I want to know what it takes to become a child of God, because God's children or God's offspring are going to inherit his kingdom. I want to know what that is, because if there are two different inheritances to come, one is heaven and one is hell, I want to know what it takes to receive heaven, because I don't care what it costs, I'm going to pass on hell. I'm not going to take it, okay? I've got a clip here of my two friends, well, my one friend Gandalf, my hero Gandalf, and his guy who he thought was his friend Saruman. It really kind of relates to tonight, so I'm going to show it. We got 3 minutes here, and then I'm going to get on to my next 2 points. Enjoy Gandalf. Sauron and Gandalf were at a dilemma. Anyone ever looked at your life and been like, wow, life really sucks? Those things that happened in Haiti, it's like, what is the point of even trying to do good? This life is, it's chaos. Anybody ever felt like life is hopeless? This is what happened to Sauron. Life was hopeless. He looked around, he saw the good guys, he saw the bad guys, and he's like, there is no way we can beat them. If we try to fight them, they will kill us. Saruman. Sauron is the bad guy. Saruman, thank you. Okay. He looked and he would see the bad guys are too good. If we take them on, they will kill us. They will destroy us. The only hope we have for survival is to join them, because evil is going to conquer, but at least we'll live. And Gandalf's response was,
tell me, friend, when did Saruman the Wise abandon reason for madness?
You know, it's beautiful. You could have dubbed my voice over him, I know. All right, yeah, I know, and they go into this awesome fight. Gandalf loses, but he gets him back in the end. When he went through the king, when he, like, rebukes it, when he, like, whatever, casts him out of the king, and it hits him in the nose, yeah. It's the bomb, diggity, whoo, maybe that's next week, we'll see, I don't know. Okay, here we go. Got a big couple, 2 points I want to make here, guys, listen in. Okay, sometimes we look around in life and we look around and we say, hell is winning in this world. There is so much sucky stuff that's going on. Hell is winning. What is the point? I want to challenge your thinking tonight. In the Lord's Prayer, how many of you are familiar with the Lord's Prayer? There's one line in there where Jesus says, pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to tell you this, heaven exists right now. Yes. Amen. And hopefully your goal was to bring the kingdom to the field and dominate. It's a good analogy. Here we go. I like that. It's a good analogy. Okay, here's the deal. Heaven exists right now. It is a reality, and you and I can experience it today. Heaven is where God's will is done. Jesus says, pray this, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, God's will is done. When he gives orders, they're obeyed. There is peace there. There is love. There is harmony. There is not molestation. There is not murder. There is not killing. There is not arguing and lying and talking behind each other's backs and backbiting and swearing and immoral activity. That isn't going on there. In heaven, God's will is done. In hell is where God's will is not done. And we talked about just earlier, God wants to restore the world to what it once was. When God created the world, earth was heaven. His will was done. He created an Adam and Eve. There was the plants and animals were beautiful. There were no weeds. There were no mosquitoes. Personal belief. Animals were not attacking and killing one another. Adam and Eve got along. They weren't fighting. Eve didn't have to go through that monthly cycle that threw out of whack. Things were good. God's will was done. And then they sinned, and everything got messed up. God wants to restore the world to what it once was and was intended to be, a place where his will is done. And we have a role in this restoration. Guys, if you get anything tonight, this is what I want you to get. We have a role when we become children of God, when we come under the authority of Christ's kingdom, we have a role in bringing this heaven to earth, this restoration. And here's what it is. This is a picture that I saw in this book, Velvet Elvis, and it was like, to me, it was like, wow, this is so cool. When you do God's will, when we become sons of God, we are then enabled by the Holy Spirit to do God's will. And when we do God's will on earth, we bring heaven to earth. Think about this. Heaven is where God's will is done. So when we do God's will, guess where heaven is? It's right here with us. And when we don't do God's will, when we do things out of God's will, we bring hell to earth. Because hell is where God's will is not done. So when we do things are not what are not in God's will, guess where hell is? It's where we are. Every kind word that you speak to somebody, every time you resist a temptation to do evil, every time you do an act of generosity, of giving, of sharing love, every prayer that you pray to God is an act of bringing God, bringing heaven to earth. And of course, the latter is true. Every evil word, every lie, every word of gossip, every time we give in to temptation to do evil, every time we act greedily, we cheat, lie, steal, every time we fail to pray, instead of bringing God into the picture, we take things in our own strength, we bring a little bit of hell to earth. See, to me, when I thought about this, sometimes the concept of preaching the gospel, anybody ever like, you want to tell someone about Jesus, but it's just like this, I don't know what to say. It's just kind of scary. And it's like, and it's not that you're scared to talk about Jesus. It's just like you really just don't know what to say. It's like, it kind of like comes out like mumbo jumbo. I like want to tell this person about Jesus, but it's just like, they don't get it. Or we see people in our schools that are just like, they don't know God. We see how miserable in their lives, and we want to do something, but we can't. It's just like, I don't know what to do. Converting someone to the way you believe is a difficult thing. And when that's the perspective that we take, which this idea of going to heaven kind of tends to bring, it's like we need to convert them to the way that we think so that when we die, they're going to get to go to heaven. That's like, it's like hard. I could argue with you all day long, but I don't think I could ever convince you to like the Colts instead of the Steelers, could I? It's impossible. The Colts are way better. They have better colors. Dude, white and blue is way better than black and yellow. Yellow's for girls. Dude, the Steelers didn't even finish, sit down. The Steelers did not even finish their uniforms. They only put the logo on one side of their helmet. It's like they don't have enough money to even, enough paint on the other side. I could argue that Peyton Manning is like the best player to ever play the game. And he is pretty hair too. Doesn't he? Doesn't he? Okay. I could argue with you all day to attempt to convert you. It would not work. And some of us have probably experienced, we've talked to our friends about Jesus. You should come to Lighthouse. No. 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 Well, if you don't, you're going to go to hell. God, I'm such a loser. And sharing, and we've talked to our families, and we want to talk about religions. And some families, I've heard, you know, one of the young ladies in our youth ministry says, our family has a rule. We don't talk about religion or politics. Like, what do? You try to bring up Jesus, and they don't want to hear it. They're not going to hear it. I've got encouraging words, news for you tonight. I want to take a new perspective on heaven tonight. And I think a new perspective on heaven will change your life. And this is what it is. When you get up in the morning and you head off to school, or even just being in your own homes, you can determine, I am going to bring heaven with me wherever I go today. I can argue with Mark, right? I can argue with Mark all I want to about Jesus and try to convince him. And he may never want to accept it, which I'm sure Mark already has anyway. But I can argue he may never want to accept, but you know what? Mark can't stop me from bringing heaven to him. because I can show him kindness. I can show him generosity. If he's mean to me, if he talks about me behind my back, I can be kind back to him. I can pray for Mark. I can bring heaven into his life. And when I go off to school, they may not want to hear about Jesus, and they may not allow me to talk about Jesus, but they can't stop me from bringing heaven there. Because I can show kindness. I can turn the other cheek. When people are talking and telling dirty jokes, I can resist laughing. When people are making fun of certain people, I can step in and be their friend. I can take a few of the blows with them. They can make fun of me too, because I'm not going to let this person get made fun of alone. And wherever you go, you can bring heaven. It may seem impossible to convert someone, but that doesn't stop you from bringing heaven into their life. And now the same is true about hell. You can listen to this message and you can go off and you can say, yeah, well, whatever. And you can go off to school and you can laugh at and you can tell dirty jokes. And you can have relationships that are inappropriate. You can hang out with a member of the opposite sex or of the same sex if you want to and do some inappropriate things together. Things that God said were reserved for marriage. And you can bring hell into that person's life and your own life. Somebody says something about you, tells a lie about you, slanders you. You can do the same thing back. They brought a little hell into your life. You can bring a little hell into theirs. You can cuss. You can swear. You can refuse to pray over your school. You can just allow hell to reign there. You have the choice. No one can stop you from doing that either. Shoot, you can come here. There might be some people here you don't get along with. So you can get your friends together and you can start telling about that person, what they did, what you saw on their Facebook page, who they were talking to. You can bring a little hell here to Lighthouse too. Shake things up a little bit. See what this youth pastor's made of. See if he can handle this. Tell some stories about your youth pastor. And be like, yeah, he's kind of a jerk. You know, you can bring a little hell here if you want to. He has no taste in football. That's cool. That's cool. See you on Super Bowl Sunday, buddy. Colt Saints. All right. I've got one more point I want to make here. Guys, that makes sense? About how you can take hell or heaven into someone's life? Someone might seem impossible. That's why other nations, Christianity is illegal in other nations. You maybe can't preach about Jesus openly. They can't stop us from bringing heaven in. Is it making sense, guys? Got one last thing I want to talk about here. Who will inherit heaven and who will inherit hell? From the things I just said, how would you guys answer that? Who is going to inherit heaven and who is going to inherit hell? Now, we could talk about accepting Jesus into our heart, and that's a true statement. There's one problem I have with that statement. You'll never find that statement in the Bible. It's true, but it's a little misdirected. From the things I just told you, if God came back, who do you think he is going to say, here is my kingdom, you earned it, you deserve it? We don't really earn heaven. It's by the grace of God. But once God's given us his grace, we have a choice what we do with it. Who will inherit the kingdom of heaven? Based on the things I just said to you, based on what's written right up there. Anybody want to take a stab at this? I like that, Stephen. The people who brought heaven to earth will inherit heaven. And the people who brought hell to earth will inherit hell. Now, if we step back and you know, well, when you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell, depending on how good you were. most of us will say, well, I haven't been that bad. I certainly don't deserve hell. And some would say, yeah, you know, yeah, I've been good. I deserve heaven. But in some ways, it almost seems unfair that God would send people to hell. I mean, hell's like terrible. Why would God, a God that loves? But when you look at it from this perspective, when you have a choice, you can either bring heaven to earth with your actions and with your life, or you can bring hell to earth. And if people spend their whole lives bringing hell to earth, they may not go out and kill people, but boy, they sure like to gossip about people. They aren't very generous people. The money, they maybe don't have a lot of money, but the money that comes in, they spend it on themselves. Yeah, they tell a few lies, you know, no, not major lies, just white lies. But in heaven, lies don't happen. And if people spend their whole life bringing hell to earth, God finally says, you spent your whole life sowing hell. Hell is your inheritance. Or he turns to those on his right and says, you spent your life sowing heaven. You brought heaven to earth. Heaven is your inheritance. Does that now seem a little bit fair when you look at it from that perspective? We lived our whole life, we didn't bother so. We didn't bother bringing heaven to earth. We didn't care. We brought hell to earth. It was about us. And now Jesus finally says, hey, you get what you worked for. I think that seems fair. I'm going to skip the rest I had tonight. What I'm going to have you do, skip ahead to that Revelation 21. Revelation 21. I'm just going to read this few verses here. I kind of wanted to give you this picture before we wind down here tonight. It's a picture of heaven. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city was in no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main streets. On each side of the river grew a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse on anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb of God will be there. And his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God, who inspires his prophets, has sent his angels to tell his servants what will happen soon. You see how I see heaven and earth. Not like here's earth and it's going to be destroyed after we all get raptured up to heaven. The word rapture isn't in the Bible either, just so you guys know. There's earth, and there's the new heaven and the new earth. Earth fell, separated from God's will. God's will is done in heaven and earth. But when Jesus came, he broke the divide. And now these two are merging together. This earth is fallen. It's evil. It's corrupt. Heaven, there's no corruption. There's no evil. And what's happening is these two, it's like Optimus Prime and that other guy at the end of the Transformers 2. Optimus Prime wasn't strong enough to take on those two guys, but he took the other guy, they morphed together, and then he was strong enough to take on the other, he conquered. It's like these two coming together. And this old fallen earth, heaven is going to invade it and restore it. And the two will become one. And you and I daily have an opportunity to be a part of that restoration. Every act of righteousness that we do brings heaven just a little bit closer, brings it a little bit more of a reality. John 6, it's the last thing I'm going to make here, point I'm going to make. John 6, 28, Jesus told them, this is the only work that God wants from you, to believe in the one he has sent. This is the message tonight that I preached to you. This is the message that Jesus preached. And the first step to bringing heaven to earth is to put your faith, your belief, in the one, Jesus, who he sent. And tonight how we're going to wind down here is we're going to take a little bit of time of worship. But I want to give an opportunity to do some ministry tonight as well. I believe there's some things that God wants to do in your life. And there may be some of you here that have never put your faith, never made that decision that I am going to follow Christ. But tonight, it might have made sense to you. You might have seen, wow, I get it now. By following Christ, I can be someone who brings heaven to earth. Otherwise, if I look at my life, shoot, I got to admit, I'm bringing hell to earth, and that's all there is to it. And tonight may be a night of decision for you, where it's, you know what? I want to start bringing heaven to earth. I want to follow Christ. If that's you tonight, while we're worshiping, I want to invite you to come up, and I'd love to pray with you. You may have some questions. I'd just love to hear what God has to speak to you, and I want to be here to pray with you if that's it. Dallas, Jen, there's a few of us up here that will be up here if you want to come and pray. And there may be some of you right now that have been like, I have been struggling. I didn't think I could do it. In my faith, some days I have good days, some days I have bad days, but tonight, all of a sudden, it makes sense. It's so much more clear now. I can do this. I can bring heaven to earth. I don't have to keep struggling with these things that I'm struggling with. I can bring heaven to earth when I go to school. It's easy. Now these people that have a hard time loving, and it just seems so impossible because like they'll never believe. Now it's like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I can bring heaven into their lives. And I want to set the record straight. There's a few things that I want to get rid of. I'm bringing hell to earth right now. And I want to bring heaven to earth. You may have already accepted Christ, and that's cool. But maybe there's a few things in your life. You just like, you know what? I want to make some changes. And maybe some of you just like, you know what? I'm just having a hard time doing it. And I want prayer for strength to do it. And if that's the case, I want to pray with you too.